This is the Gift of Gab podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle, connecting you to the highest and flyest in the Mile High City. Follow me on all major platforms at the Gift of Gab 555. This episode is sponsored by the Ever Collection by K. Michael. Visit evercollection.nyc to get a pair of the flyest eyewear in the game. Tag me on social media in your eyewear for a shout out on the podcast. We hope that you enjoy the show. Today, I have one of my favorite mamas in the community, Miss Medicine Mama Kia. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I am highly favored and flavored. Oh, God. Thank you for existing. Thank you for having me today on your podcast. I know it's been way overdue, so thank you for having me, bro.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've had a little podcast crush on you for a while. Ah! I think you were the second one. I saw Sandra Ganja. Did you know we're birthday twins, same year and everything?
I love that.
I saw her. She was one of the first I saw, but I think you were probably the second one I saw that was doing a podcast too, and just out there just doing it, not necessarily fitting into the mold or having every episode come out exactly this. And that is something I've really tried to embody in this podcast is not, I used to really operate in my masculine dad voice a lot and feel like I had to put it out. I went to business school. I felt like the way that you had to cultivate business was to be like that, the structure. Mm-hmm. And what I've really noticed, really, you were one of the first people that kind of opened me into some of the, my dad used to call it the woo healing, but really just opened me up to the fact that we are feminine. We are supposed to be leading with our femininity. We are supposed to be in flow. We are not supposed to be the men. They're over there.
Yeah.
We're over here. So tell me a little bit more about your business and what it is that you do.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, hi, I'm Medicine Mama Kia. I am 25 years young and this physical body sent back to Earth way to create positive paradigm shifts. I am an Afro-Indigenous witch. I am a Cajun Creole bruja is what I like to say lately. I'm a pansexual queer identifying individual. So I am very proudly out and about with my sexuality. I like my freak flag fly. I'm a daughter of Oshun, so I show up energetically with a honey-dipped aura and personality. But I'm doused in cayenne because I am an Aries. So if you feel like the heat and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with it, people are really either inspired or intimidated by my frequency. Witch Wellness LLC is my baby. Is literally... I had a dream about having babies for a long time. And then I didn't realize when I made Witch Wellness that that was the baby in my dream for the longest time. Mm-hmm. It was something I was birthing, creating, and processing. And I basically own an LLC here in Colorado. I am an international healer. I specialize in herbalism, Afro-Indigenous healing, tarot reading, Orisha alchemy. I'm a Santeria witch. So I practice with hoodoo, voodoo, and root magic. I'm also pagan. I'm eclectic. I'm a multicultural woman. So I'm Irish, German, Creole, and Cherokee Indian. So as I have all these parts of the melting pot to me, I have the birthright to connect to every religion and spiritualism, basically. And I put it all in a beautiful collective where energies, individuals of all ages, backgrounds can come and heal. So not only do I provide products and services to the collective, I hold a mission of positive paradigm shift when it comes to supreme consciousness, higher consciousness, connectivity to Mother Earth, which is what I call Earthway Healing, which is the mission and the foundation of Witch Wellness, is to educate people about Earthway Healing and to transmute the energy of Western medicine and getting people back into Afro-Indigenous healing, whether that be with the herbs, with the crystals, with astrology, with yoga and dualism and any form of spiritualism. Like, I help people to tap back into that in a safe, open space. My products range from yoni steams to lingam steams. Not only do I heal the womb, but I heal the lingam, the swords of light. Then things be penetrating the wombs with diseases and, you know, unhealthy frequencies causing yeast infections, even sometimes abortion energy. I help women to recover from and alchemize their frequency here on earth. Mm-hmm. So I've helped heal women that were deemed infertile. I've helped women have babies. I've helped heal fibroids and cysts out of women's wombs. I've helped to remove toxic mental garden energies from picking out people's weeds through tarot readings, which I perform, and I call them mental therapy sessions. Mm. So I am a very multifaceted, eclectic, celestial indigenous witch, and I provide that here to people in Colorado, but I am international.
Wow, you have such a way with words. I'm like, wow, I wanna be all that. Look at that.
You are so cute. I love you.
That was a great
explanation. I feel like I was just vomiting. I was like, blah, 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 blah.
So much. It's just like
well,
that's
I'm tapped
piece.
In with some of that, but we're gonna have to dive in here.
So I heard you mentioning a little bit about how you felt like it was your baby and how. Tell me a little bit more about creating it and the stages before you opened. What really guided you to start the Witch Wellness?
Oh, that's such a wide question. So, like, Witch Wellness probably started in high school when I started listening to Princess Nokia. Shout out to the Arisha Mama Yemoja. Blessings on my Yemoja. She is a divine Afro-Indigenous Puerto Rican energy. She is a multifaceted rap priestess. And if anyone knows, then you know, boo. She has this club called Sacred, well, it was like Smart Girls Club. And in high school, I was so attracted to that because it was a club for specifically women of color, but for all women. So no matter if you're white, black, Asian, whatever, you are welcome. And so it was a club where women could learn about spirituality and herbs and magic and the goddesses and different forms of consciousness and healing and having a safe space for women to unite, meet up, and have this basically a coven. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, I started diving deeper into spiritualism and learning what covens were and learning what the mysticism of having magical women unite and creating positive impacts in the community and how I wanted to have that for myself. Mm-hmm. And feeling like I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have a strong sisterhood. I didn't have that many girlfriends. I was like the lone wolf. I was the weird girl making mud cakes. Like,
me too.
And that was okay. I was like, I'll be that black sheep. And I said, fuck it. I want to kick down the doors of people gatekeeping things and call all the black sheeps out there to come huddle at this table with me and make a safe space. And so in high school, after I graduated, I went to college here at Metropolitan State University. I have my bachelor's in broadcast journalism. So I know how to edit and create and package produce film and audio. So I was like, cool, I know how to make podcasts. I know how to make music videos. I know how to like create a little film, a little movie if I wanted to. What do I want to do with this? What am I going to do with all this? And I was like, I'm going to have a TV show. And it's going to be like Oprah. And it's going to be like Tyra Banks when they was always talking about conscious things, environmental justice, social justice, things like that, spiritualism. I remember seeing Oprah. She always had, you know, the spiritual things going on with the little kids coming through with the mediums. And my dad would show me. And he was so big on UFOs and put me big into where I am spiritually with you know, the Egyptians, ancient Sumerians, the UFOs, the Anunnakis. Like, I'm very eclectic when it comes to supreme consciousness outside of the matrix of what you were speaking of earlier. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot for me to tap in and tap out because I'm so involved in so many different things, which Wellness was supposed to be like a sacred sister circle. I mean, a Smart Girls Club. So I made it a sacred sister circle in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So not only is there the Witch Wellness Shop, that is a branch to my business as a physical community gathering space where people can actually physically come meet up with me and learn about herbs, see me in person, get an actual physical tarot reading, and meet like-minded sisters that walk different forms of life, that have different skin color, different body physiques, and different historical relevance. And so I wanted to put these women with different spiritualisms and ancestors in a room where we can create a safe space of change. Not saying that I am discrediting the history of our individualism and our cultures, but giving the acknowledgement in a room of unity and
And combining really, our forces, really, into a collective.
That part. Mm-hmm. And making it a safe space to do so, right? And so Witch Wellness became, like, really, really powerful. I started making, and we all went through this crazy-ass thing called the pandemic, okay, with COVID. And I was like, fuck, bitch, I ain't got no job. And I was like, I ain't got no money. It's just looking scary for a witch bitch because I just got my first apartment. And I was living alone. I got a little kitty cat. She was my little familiar. And then I was like, yo, I'm going to make my products. I was already selling stuff to all my friends and my coworkers. Like, I'd be at, worked at a movie theater, and I would always wear my cinnamon essential oils on to attract money gain. And I always do these little spells. And my friends and coworkers would see me like, what are you doing with the sugar? And I would rub it on my hands to attract tips. So when I come around people, like, and I'm like, talking to them, I kind of would like move my hands in a certain way so they'd smell the essence of sweetness and be more likely to tip me because I brought an aroma of love, right? And so I started giving these witch tips out and started calling, okay, these are witch tips. And I started evolving with that, right? And then I was like, oh, I'm giving all these people products, and I would just charge like, oh, $15 for a little vial. Like, and someone at work was like, girl, I'm going through my love life. Can you make me a little something, a little potion with that? And I'm like, okay. And I got home, concocted in my witchy kitchen, and I come back with products. So I was like, fuck it. I need to actually, this is a lot of people need for me. And I was like, oh, like, I'm providing medicine. I'm a medicine woman. So I started learning what that word meant. Identified myself as Medicine Mama Kia, and I turned my business into a legal form of income during the pandemic. Specifically made it an LLC. And in Denver, Colorado, I'm legally registered, and I have a seller's permit and seller's license to sell here in Colorado, in Aurora, and Denver specifically. And so I made that legal out of nowhere. Like, Spirit just said, okay, after you made your website during the pandemic, made these orders, now it's time to get more serious. Like, so nobody could try your ass, you know, do anything extra. We're going to take the legal precautions. And so I started to evolve myself that way. So I became more professional. I became more mature. And that was an inspiration to people in my community, but it was also an intimidation.
Yes.
So not only did I gain respect, but I also lost a lot of friends
along the way. Right. Yes, that's the next question that leads us right into it. Some of the hurdles you faced along the way. What were some of the things that you felt that were the most challenging, and just, and even still today, like, what are some of the big hurdles and challenges of
this? Is good. I don't even really talk about myself like this. So I'm like, thank you, Gabby, for interviewing me. This is actually really nice. This is a little manifestation true.
Yes.
What are the biggest hurdles you say that I've mm-hmm. faced in my business? I'd say, like, kicking the doors down, like, where people tell me what I can teach, how I can teach it, and who I can teach it to. I face people's rejection. I face people not wanting my products in their shop. I face people, you know, telling me I'm taking over their shops, or I'm doing too much. I'm presenting like I'm the owner, when I'm really just presenting my frequency and my business and my products. And it's such a high vibration that it becomes overwhelming for people. So I've not been welcomed in spaces. I've been told no more than I've been told yes, which is why I've made the table for myself and welcomed different people that have experienced the same energy. Personally, hurdles I've experienced, like, with products and packaging and shipping. Like, for example, the other day I had, for the first time in my business, I was ordering to make waist beads a string, and it was a cord, and it would just easily snap. So if you was going to make love in it, bitch, you was going to go work out or something, it was breaking. I had all these girls DMing me like, yeah, it just broke. Like, the waist bead broke. Oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, I have to refund and do all this stuff. So I was like, I don't want to stop my business. That was a learning lesson. Either you can stop now because it's not for you, or you can learn that you just need a different material to help your business grow.
Yeah.
And so it was little things like that I have continuously learned throughout my business. The biggest hurdle was social media. Mm-hmm. Being consistent is key, and recognizing that not everybody is for you, and you do not have to prove that. Yes. That is something that I personally struggled with and do with being a business owner, especially coming across more established, quote unquote, businesses. You know, that just don't welcome the spiritualism, the mission of healing, or the accessibility, affordability of alchemy that I bring. So I also do my pop-up shops in Colorado, and I do love donation if you identify as POC or LGBTQ. And I've just faced, you know, little moments of people being like, and other vendors sometimes, not in a negative way, but also in a confused way, concerned way. Like, why do you do that? Mm-hmm. And are you making money? And it's just like confused looks, like, are you okay? Like, and what are these products? And it's like, I give out of the kindness of my heart, and this is a part of my Igbo. Igbo is sacrifice. Sacrifice is a Yoruba term from the African people, and it's something that you do spiritually here on earth in order to receive your blessings. Mm-hmm. So my form of Igbo is womb wellness. I'm a daughter of Oshun. Oshun is the mother of the womb. And so it is my birthright. It is my sacrifice to even get my blessings, to give these blessings.
Yeah, no, I used to kind of struggle because I kept saying, I'm doing so much of this work for free. I am doing so much for people. And all these business coaches and people are trying to tell me, well, where is it? What is the point of this? And I have gradually recognized over the past few years that you're taken care of. When you are creating a collective and you really stand by your products, generally, it makes people want to know you more. It still attracts abundance into your life. Even money is just energy. So for me, I am equally happy just sharing energy and trading energy with people. I do a lot. I have started to just do free strategy sessions with people because coaching can be a little bit expensive. It is time consuming and it is an industry that, I mean, if you want to go to these people that have a little list of blah, blah, blah next to their name, they're going to charge you double what I'm charging you. Yeah. I'm always aligned with spiritual numbers or angel numbers or whatever. But one thing I really recognized was giving people a free strategy session and sparking a feeling inside of them. It comes back a lot quicker than just inviting somebody to work with you and then shouting out your prices. And it cultivates relationships in a better way. And I love that you said that because it's so funny that people are always so concerned about how you're making money or how you're running your business. Mm-hmm. I very much want to be all inclusive. I am not the type of person, while I love to empower women, I don't love to empower women against men. I don't like to create men only, women only spaces. If you need that space for you, I will cultivate safe space for you. But me as a collective, I am all about everybody. And some people get really like turned off by that. Blah, 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 this and that. I'm not here to judge other people. We are all living our lives. We have all done things to be proud of and things we're not proud of, you know? And we don't choose which body we come into in this existence. And some of us really identify with, you know, all the way I've always been drawn to the Egyptians. Like, I don't know where that comes from, but it comes from somewhere because, you know, and people are just so
connected.
Yes, we are connected. We are like oneness is really the one love approach is me to the T. So where do you see, like, where, if you could take Witch Wellness anywhere, what does it look like in the perfect world?
I love this question.
Girl, that's my thing. I keep leaving that here. I'm fucking dead. My tarot reading thing. Okay, so I see Witch Wellness, and I've manifested this two big things. The TV show. I want to alchemize the way that Black people and POC are seen on television and the way that we are portrayed in media when it comes to shows like Love and Hip Hop, and just recognizing that for entertainment as television, I want to be like Medicine Mama Kia in a form of Oprah on the stage hosting like we're doing now, bringing guest interviews on where they're performing and giving alchemy and teaching about these forms of spiritualism and healing and having social justice conversations, environmental justice conversations, and putting a positive action to use when it comes to my platform. And being a light means that I have to know better to do better. Mm-hmm. And so that is the key, having the media, even if the podcast comes in, NPR, manifesting NPR connection, working with them, becoming a part of that team, bringing more spiritualism topics to fruition, Afro-Indigenous topics, more healing topics. And then secondly is making my business a storefront physically. So having that rooted here in Colorado, if not, then I want it to be at least a few different spaces. Colorado, Atlanta, California, and where was that other one? Louisiana. because I want to tap back into the swamp energy. I want to tap back into the mud, the elements, earth, if I walk to spirit. I want to have my sisters and my coven and my family have jobs where they are making herbs and they're making tinctures and they're making these forms of healing where they can also use on their bodies, and we can have a healthier relationship with the earth and the herbs and stop using so much of the animals in a form of consumption, and rather as a form of nourishment, healing, and guidance, and becoming an avatar. I feel like all of us have that alchemy and energy to do such, but we just need someone to help us activate and awaken. So I just want to be that leader for the cosmic change. I want to meet Queen Afua and host sacred retreats with her. And I want to travel out of country with Lizzie Jeff and Matt Petrova and all these different people, and Tony Jones and Queen Lifemore, like more of these beautiful energies and people that resonate my frequency, Lava God, Free Soul. I want to show up to these musical places where Black people are open and supported, where our white allies are holding us up and giving us the love and support we need and providing that safe space and saying, yeah, no motherfucking Karens in the building. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we got our tribe. Like, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. As a person that is white and Black, I want to hold safe spaces for people that look like me and don't look like me. Mm-hmm. And I want us to be able to create that positive change without violence, judgment, hate, greed, jealousy, and competition. I want to create more spaces of collaboration.
Mm. Ooh. I keep getting goosebumps. Yay. I'm like, maybe it's cold, but maybe it's a conversation. I keep watching my phone. I'm like, lately the technology has been on the fritz. It'll just drop my calls when we start getting really juicy. I'm like, so you've told us quite a bit about your background, so we don't need to really dive into that. But tell me a little bit more about you as Kia, not as a business mogul.
Oh, you're so cute. Who's Kia?
Yeah.
Kia is a sweet, yummy little honey dip soul with a positive frequency from Kansas City, Missouri. I'm from there, and I have siblings. I have six of them. I'm a middle child, and my grandma is the person that really taught me to be myself. Great-great-great-grandma's one of them, but she basically was the first one in Little Rock, Arkansas. In Stuttgart is where my kinfolk from, too. She basically, like, my grandmother had her own storefront. And in that time period back then in those days, it was still real high vibration with slave energy and real high vibration with just hate towards the melanin and the Black folk. And I actually had a family member that went through and experience a friend from the Little Rock Nine. And I don't know if those people know about that experience, the nine kids that were Black that went to this predominantly white school and tried to make a positive difference by being Black kids in that school, by creating a space for themselves, not even safe, but a space for themselves. And just being a woman of Black history, a woman of divine lineage is powerful. My grandfather on my grandmother's side was a 33rd degree Mason. Very powerful if you know about that energy and the divine masculine. Like a lot of the men, even my great one of my uncles, my father's friend, is actually a masonry to this day. He's an active masonry. So I'm very guarded and protected by these spiritual people, even if I don't know it. Mm-hmm. I'm a daughter of Oshun, and I was raised Christian from a Christian woman. She's a praying person. I say praying people, them people with them hats in the front row and in churches, honey. They some praying people, some healing people now. And I don't disregard Christianity. I don't disregard the Tao or, you know, the Kabbalion or whatever your spiritualism is. And so personally, me, I'm just a cute little girl from Kansas City, Missouri. I got my degree out here in Colorado. Everyone in my family left when the pandemic and everything hit, and I stayed out here. And I just upgraded to my second apartment. It's a one bed, one bath. And I'm so thankful for the growth of myself. And I pray to my ancestors. I put out fresh fruits and water and sweet treats and baked goods and home-cooked meals in order for my life here on earth to be abundant and to be colorful and to be peace-filled, which it hasn't always been. And I'm thankful for the Aries within me, because I can be stubborn, but this Aries in me has helped me open doors, create doors for new change, and become the woman that I am today. Depression is a real motherfucker, and I've experienced anxiety since I was in high school, and I'm getting emotional. Bitch, why am I getting emotional? But
it's hard to think about sometimes when you – I get emotional sometimes talking about myself too, because it took a lot to get to the me I am today. It doesn't just happen overnight. Those hardships and those hard times, I feel like, make us who we are. I've started to actually think, like, and be grateful for those hard times in a way, and for those people that hurt me, because I'm like, well – look at me now.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to see my competitors as my friends always. Like, I always give them thank you notes to inspire me, which is happening a lot. Like, even with friends, losing connection to certain family members, and just like, which is crazy because you're like, bitch, you my family. How dare you? That could never happen. But sometimes it's supposed to happen, and sometimes blood is family. Sometimes you make family that is not blood, that is from mud. And I give gratitude to my coven and to creating a virtual community, a physical community, because I've been supported in times of fucking stress, having my car stolen, like going through a public breakup, like a lot of things that I just really felt like were private, that were very public in my life. So sometimes I feel like I'm people's entertainment, but I got to remember I am the main character. And
yes,
sometimes
it's
that's hard.
It's very hard. I struggled because right before I went through a divorce, I started trying to just have a business online and create my own community, because the community that I came from never supported me. I came from so many, even my own family, they just treated me like, what can they get from me? You know, I very much recognize that I used to have a really hard time with the word like white privilege. And I would have a hard time because I've been in so many rooms where they're talking shit about white people, but then they're like, not you, Gabby, you don't count. And it's still my people, you know, and I've been called trash by my own people, you know, and by people of other races. And through all of that, I really I did a lot of it in the public eye, and my family members just couldn't handle it. It was too much for them. And It's hard because it makes you kind of want to give up. But the reason that I stay with it, I mean, you have made a positive impact in my life in the time that I've been coming to your events, the collective that you should create. Even some people we don't recognize at first exactly where we met each other. And then we're like, oh, every time it was Kia's events. But over time, like, I created a community. I have created a positive impact on social media, in the public eye, even when it was hard. And even when it makes some people really, really mad at you for some reason.
Oh my gosh, she's prevailing.
Sometimes the hardest part for people when you speak your truth is the ego death that has to happen to them when they have spent so much time. When you lie about something, and sometimes you don't even, trauma causes people to see things, and there's two sides to it. And when you tell your side, leaving out the parts that you did so many times, you believe it's the truth. So some of these people, when you're speaking your truth, it really triggers them. They just can't handle it. Or they realize, they find their shadow and they're still scared of it. They find those little demons inside that are very much there. I had a prompt from something, probably that ISIS deck, or it told me to just think a little bit about your shadows and get in depth. So I did a lot of journaling around it, and I really started to recognize, wow, like, this is that like evil or that dark that you used to do with your magic that you're talking about. Like, you were. I embody it, and I take accountability for it, because but I had never really dug into the fact of I was hurting people and hurting myself, and what was that inside of me, you know, because part of me liked it, part of me liked that, and just accepting yourself for those things, but always having to do that in front of people, and having people that are just nosy and don't actually wish you well, always trying to come up and ask you questions. That's something that I'm
get away.
It's like, go away. And the, all these spiritual practices and things, I've learned things like at your events that I have carried. I am like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this now. And I'm going to do this now, because when I spend time with my own spirit doing my own things, I don't worry about whatever it is that they are, whatever it is they made me feel. I take things personally, and I'm a very, I really don't have a hard time understanding people with bad intentions, because one thing about me is I have good intentions. I'm not a, I don't go into things with malicious intent. And so I just, some people do, and I have a hard time understanding that.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm so glad that you made your way to Colorado. I would, with the way that you are in the community, it would seem that you have been here a lot longer than you have. You are very, you've definitely laid down your roots out here in Denver. We all see you. Where is that going? I hate when that happens, but it's always when I get talking about the big, I'm like, I could talk forever about this stuff. So let's come back to where we're going. So what do you have coming up? What is next for Kia that we can look forward to?
Ooh, I love it. So I am hosting my next full moon ceremony in Denver, Colorado, July 3rd at Utah Park. And it is an open experience. It's a microdosing barbecue. And so I just want to put together, it's a bruja barbecue, basically. So the witches, warlocks, healers, doula, medicine women, spiritualists, whatever you identify, bring yourself. You can bring the kids. If you're an open spiritual hippie parent like that, you feel me, just know that there is 420 friendly, and that it is psychedelic friendly. So if you're that kind of parent, that's cool. I grew up in that vibe. Just know what you're expecting. And then every month I do full moon ceremonies. So if you want to tap in, find me on Instagram at Sacred Sister Circles. And my podcast as well is on Spotify for Witch Wellness if you want to listen and tune in. And then what else is coming up? Some big projects with some beautiful organizations in Colorado. And then just manifesting my travels and popping up all across the country and serving Witch Wellness and doing private and group Yoni steam sessions.
If I'm remembering correctly, when I spoke with you not too long ago, you mentioned that spirits kind of called you to be all in your business, correct? Yes, I am too. Sometimes I'll talk about juggling both, but what I've really recognized since I jumped off the porch and quit that last job is this is powerful work that you do, that I'm doing. And it, and when you're all in, it's going to take you places, and it's going to cultivate growth when you put all your energy into it. So, oh, I love that.
Ashe.
I love that. Any last words before we get closed up?
No, I actually just want to say thank you for having me. It's been a while since we literally, I think, manifested for a year now.
I know.
Went through a whole relationship, a breakup, a lot of like healing and growing out the mud and spreading my butterfly wings. And I think we're finally now aligned to start creating the magic and doing the work and creating the sacred sisterhood that needs to be. So thank you, Gab. Thank you, Gabrielle.
No,
thank
I you love for it. Having me. I love it. I look forward to more sessions because I just really, I love getting the community talking and just using our voice.
Thank you
so much for being here today. And thank you to each and every one of our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Gift of Gab podcast. And as always, stay safe, stay high, and stay fly.